ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
If you can't share your faith, then you're a poor witness of Jesus. And then what are you going to give people? And if you don't know what you believe, when difficult times come your way, your faith is going to be shaken. And you may even doubt your salvation. So you need to know what you believe and be ready to share it. Think about a golfer, a professional golfer. Now, I am not a golfer at all. I mean, Joe Sams can attest to this when we had our golf outing several years ago. I am telling you, I can hit a divot so far, it's unbelievable. But the ball is still there on the ground. It was sad. The only thing I can do with golfing is putt-putt. You know, do the putts. And you know why? Because I did a lot of that as a kid, and the little windmills and, you know, up the little things. And so I could putt really well, but driving the ball, it was like me swinging a baseball bat. And guys were standing around me because I think it was a warm day, and they were trying to cool off when I was swinging. That's how bad it was. Horrible. But I didn't know this, but I found out that professional golfers hit around 500 to 1,000 balls a day when they practice. See, they don't go out there and just swing at the ball and it's a great shot. They put the time into it. That's what you need to do. For us as Christians, as we read the Word, as the Bible, how many times a week do we do it? A little here, a little there, and then we can't defend our faith? You have to put time into studying the Word, reading the Word, hearing the Word of God being taught, and you'll be able to defend your faith. It does take practice. It does take preparation if you want to complete the task. And I do see that God is doing that in our lives. He's working to prepare us for the work. In Philippians 2:13, Paul wrote, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Or as the Amplified Bible puts it, "Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire, both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight." You see, God is not only working in us to equip us for the work, but he puts those desires in our hearts, and as we obey, it pleases him. I mean, I'm sure as you look at your life, the things you've gone through, you see how God has been preparing you for the work that he wants you to do. And yeah, it can be a slow process, but don't negate the small things or the things you see as insignificant, because God is using them to prepare you. I told you about Moses, 40 years in the wilderness before God used him to deliver the children of Israel from their bondage in Egypt. And for Moses, think about this. He was a shepherd, right? Day in and day out, traveling with the sheep, watching over them, caring for them. Not easy, but it wasn't a waste of time. God was preparing Moses to know the land where the children of Israel would be traveling. He was preparing Moses to shepherd the children of Israel, who were like sheep. I mean, they were stiff-necked, rebellious people needing lots of care and attention, just like sheep. I mean, you know, sheep would eat, and if they fall over, they couldn't right themselves. And so what would happen is their bellies would start to swell. And there they'd be, stuck and die. And the shepherd would have to come and pick them up and set them back on their feet. That was Moses. God was preparing Moses to shepherd the people of God those 40 years he was in the wilderness. And he was really breaking Moses of his self-will, breaking him of self, so that he could trust in the Lord and take care of the people of God. I like what Paul said about God and what he does in our lives in Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." You see, God will make us complete for the work he's called us to do. And that gives me great comfort. He's preparing me for the work. Paul talked again about this in Ephesians 2:10, because he prepares the work for us as well, not just us for the work. He said, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." If God has planned the work for us, and he's also prepared us for the work, what's our responsibility in the situation? What are we to do? Walk by faith. We need to take those steps of faith then. For Shamgar, I'm sure he used that ox goad many, many, many times. So he was prepared for the work that was before him, the destruction of the Philistines. Preparation for service is important. And I'm not saying it's going to take 40 years or 30 years, 5 years. I don't know how long it's going to take. Maybe it's a few months. Maybe it's a year. Be in the Word of God. And I'll tell you what, it never ends. For me, when I am praying about what I'm going to be teaching on, I'll spend 8 hours, 6 to 8 hours working on a study. You think, well, you know, after 24 years, you think you could do it a little faster. I don't want to do it faster. I want to do it right. I want to hear from God. And so prepare, take the time. The next point, and I think this is important, is what's in your hand. Again, this is easy. What did Shamgar have in his hand? An ox goad, right? That's it. That's what he had. And he killed 600 men of the Philistines. Moses had a shepherd's crook. There is nothing special about that rod that Moses had. Piece of wood that could be broken, it could be cut, it could be burned, whatever. It had no power in it. It was just a piece of wood. It couldn't do anything worthwhile on its own. And yet God was going to use this rod in the hands of Moses to do great things. And I think that's the point. I think that's what the Lord is showing us here in Judges 3:31. This ox goat was nothing special, but God was going to use it in a very powerful way. You know, God asked Moses, "What's in your hand?" Moses says, "It was a rod." God says, "Great, that's what I'm going to use." See, God uses what's in our hand, the gifts, the talents that he's given to us to be used for his glory. Now, again, we may not see them as talents or gifts. We may be afraid that what we have to offer is nothing. I mean, who am I? I have nothing. Again, let's think about this. Was that rod in the hand of Moses anything more than a piece of wood? No. Was the ox goad anything more than something to clean a wheel of a wagon or to goad an animal? No. The only difference is God was going to use the rod in the hand of Moses or the ox goad in the hand of Shamgar to do great things. Think about this. God said to Paul, what's in your hand? And Paul said, a pen. I'm a scholar. And God said, great, that's what I'll use. And God used Paul to write 14 of the 27 books of the New Testament. It was a pen. Look at the Apostle Peter. You know, God said to Peter, what's that in your hand? And Peter said, that's my Pope hat. No, he didn't say that. Sorry. What did he say? What did Peter say? It's a fishing net. I'm a fisherman. And what did God say? Or what did the Lord say? That's great. That's what I'll use. And God made Peter a fisher of men. Isn't that interesting? The tools of the trade. The examples that I've shared a little bit with you. I'll start out with, again, Shamgar killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. Samson killed 1,000 Philistines with a jawbone of a donkey. I mean, that's even worse. It's a jawbone of a donkey. He killed 1,000 Philistines. David killed the Philistine giant Goliath with a sling and a stone. God took 5 small barley crackers and 2 pickled fish from the hand of a young boy and fed 5,000 men plus women and children. Can God use what's in your hand? Absolutely. If you let him. And I think many times we look at our lives and wonder, how can God use what I have in my hand? You know, he asks us, what's in your hand? And they say, well, it's just a computer. And the Lord says, hey, that is great. That's what I'm going to use. What do I mean by that? How could God use a computer for his glory? Never negate what God can do. I look at those in the church who have computer skills and how God's using them. The radio station, guess what? It's run by computers that have to be programmed. We have people who are programming the computers to run the station. We have people who are editing the studies to put them on the air. We have people who put together the web page. You see how this is playing out here? We can go on and on. Don't negate what God, what's in your hand. as being meaningless, because if God can use an axe goad for his glory, he can use anything, right? I mean, that's the amazing thing to me. There was this elderly widow years ago. She was very restricted in her activities, and she was eager to serve Christ. And, you know, how are you going to serve Christ? She was really restricted, couldn't do much. So she prayed about it, and she realized that she could bring blessings to others by playing the piano. The next day, she placed this small ad in the Oakland Tribune. Pianists will play hymns by phone daily for those who are sick and despondent. The service is free. And the notice included the number to dial. And when people called, she would ask, what hymn would you like to hear? And within a few months, her playing had brought cheer to several hundred people. Many of them freely poured out their hearts to her, and she was able to help and encourage them. Think about that. God said to this woman, what's in your hand, right? It's a piano, right? Great, that's exactly what I'm going to use. She could have came up with all the reasons in the world why she couldn't serve the Lord. But instead, she took those steps of faith, and God blessed it. She was able to bless people, and in doing so, she brought glory to God, all because she took that step of faith and used the gift that God had placed in her hand. So what's in your hand? A school book, a basketball, a hammer, a pen, a broom, an apron, an instrument? See, it doesn't matter, because God has given you a gift to be used for his glory. He not only prepared the work for you, but he prepared you for the work, but you have to take that step of faith and walk and use it. I think about people that, you know, clean the church, and many of you are probably not even aware that there are people that clean the church. But they do, and they're behind the scenes, but what's in their hand? Well, let's say it's a vacuum cleaner. God is using that in their lives to bless people, right? Could you imagine what the church would look like if no one cleaned the church? Obviously, it wouldn't be good. And they do a wonderful job, and I'm not trying to take away their rewards from them, but it's important for us to understand that whatever we do unto the Lord for his glory. He's given us the gifts. Let's use them. In our daily bread, they make this observation. They wrote this, and the Lord said unto him, what is that in thy hand? Our scripture reading for today contains Moses' response to God's call at the burning bush. Having just been commissioned to lead the children of Israel out of bondage, he was apprehensive about how the Egyptians and even his own countrymen would react. But the Lord said to him, what is that in thy hand? A rod, Moses answered. Then he said to him in verse 17, and thou shalt take this rod in thy hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs. Most of us are familiar with the great miracles associated with the rod when Moses obeyed the Lord. It was insignificant in itself, but it became a powerful instrument when committed to the Lord. Writing on this theme, J.W. Johnson imagined the following conversation between God and some of his faithful servants down through the centuries. What is in thy hand? Asked the Lord. A sling, said David. It's enough. Go against the giant. And the great Goliath fell before the shepherd boy. What is that in thy hand? A sword, answered Jonathan. It's enough. And the brave youth, followed by his armor bearer, went up against an army, and the Philistines were defeated. What is in thy hand? A pen, said John Bunyan, as he spoke from the arches of Bedford Prison. It's enough. And he wrote the story Pilgrim's Progress, which will live while the world endures. Don't sell yourself short. If God's called you to a task, he will equip you. All he's asking is what's in your hand, and we need to give it to him and see what he can do with those things that he's given to us. You know, I love that about God. You know, you don't negate what God wants you to do or think you're insignificant, that God can't use you. You know, I think that's really the point. We're nothing. We're insignificant, and God will use us to do great things, and he gets the glory. There are people who just can't understand how I could be a pastor when I have no theology degree. What school did you go to? School of the Holy Spirit. You know, God kind of taught me. And I told you this before, you know, when I knew what the Lord was doing, that he had called me to be a pastor one day, I tried to go to Bible school. And I was working full time. I was a pastor, assistant pastor down at Calvary Chapel, Elk Grove. I was busy. So I was just going to take one class at a time, here and there a class. And so I went to see a counselor to see what we could work out, what kind of classes I could take. The counselor, we spent time there talking with him, and he said, you know, I've really never had this happen before, but there is not one class that will fit your schedule. I was like, come on, there has to be not one class. And I kind of left there just frustrated. I'm like, God, you want me to be a pastor? I can't even get in to take one class. And God doesn't always say this to everyone. I'm not saying Bible schools are bad. This is what the Lord told me. So, Joe, I do not want you hanging your diploma or degree upon some wall and pointing to that degree and saying, that's why you're the pastor. You need to remember I'm the one who's putting you in that position, and I'm the one who will equip you. I've already equipped the work for you. Wow. And you know what? When God tells you something like that, you just back off. You know, there's no point arguing. Okay, Lord, I'm not taking any classes. That's fine. That's what he can do. We are just the instruments that God will use. And we don't praise the instrument. We praise the one who used the instrument, and that's God. And he uses each and every one of our lives that way. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I like the way the Amplified Bible puts this verse. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your moral excellence and your praiseworthy, noble, and good deeds, and recognize and honor and praise and glorify your Father who is in heaven. All that we do, our good works, how we live out our faith, doesn't bring glory to us. It brings glory to God for what he's done. And God can use any instrument for his glory. And I'm so thankful that, you know, he'll use anyone who is willing to surrender his life to him. And I understand there are times that we doubt what God is doing. But we need to remember, if he's called us, he's going to equip us. Right? I mean, could you imagine? Okay, you know, we've got the couple football games today, right? Could you imagine for one of the teams, there's no equipment for them? Okay, we're playing today, guys. Sorry, we don't have any equipment. You know, didn't make it here, so good luck. Well, that would be the end. One play, they'd be down, right? No helmets, no pads, no nothing. If God has called us to a task, he will equip us. And yes, we will feel probably not able to do the task. And that's okay. We just need to walk by faith. I mean, think about David, right? I'll just use him as an example, against Goliath. David was this young boy, right? All the army of Israel was terrified of this giant. The giant would come out every day and mock the children of Israel. Come on, just send some of your guys out here. Let me fight them. And the winner, we take all. Come on. And they were terrified. And here comes David. And David is upset. He's really mad. You're letting this guy talk to you like this? I mean, this guy was huge. And David was just this little kid. And he goes against the giant. And the giant's mocking him. I mean, you're going to fight against me? This is the best you guys have, this little ruddy kid? And David said, you defy the armies of the living God. See, it's not me who's fighting, it's him. And I'm walking by faith here. And David takes that sling, puts a rock in it, and lets it fly. And I'm sure when that rock hit Goliath in the head and he fell over, that ground shook. And can you imagine the children of Israel and what they thought? Oh, my gosh. And can you imagine the fear now in the Philistines' minds? All because this young boy decided to walk by faith and trust in the living God. That's all God's asking us to do. He's not saying, hey, go out there and do it. I'll check back on with you in a few weeks here. Good luck. No, he's leading the way. He's the good shepherd, right? So if he's called us to do something, he's leading us to do it. He's equipped us, and he's also provided the work for us. He's prepared that work beforehand. This is what I have for you, Joe, to do, but you have to walk by faith now. You have to trust in me. Wow. Preparation for service, important. What's in your hand? Okay, now you got to use what God has given you, the gifts. And here's the thing, God is encouraging us in the work. I'll tell you, encouragement is such a big factor, isn't it? I remember when I, you know, after I first got saved, there was a guy in Calvary in Elk Grove who said, you know, Joe, I think you'd really be good over the infant and toddler ministry. Do you want to oversee that? I didn't know anything about it. Yeah, that sounds great. He was encouraging me to take that step, stirring me up in love and good works. And Julie and I, we were overseeing that. And we learned so much. You know, I told you guys know the story about the Easter service. The little girls are all dressed with their bonnets on, you know, and they've got the little gloves and they got their little purses and they're all very dainty and they're just cute. And the boys, you know, got their fake ties on, you know, and they're all dressed up and, you know, they're all coming in. And these are just little kids and they're all coming in and we're getting them settled. And it's like all the parents are gone. And I don't know, Scotty, you know about explosions, but that's pretty much what happened. There was this explosion. Hats were gone. Gloves were being thrown everywhere. Ties, well, they were clip-on ties. So the kids were taking them off and throwing them. Oh, my gosh, who belongs to what tie and glove and hat and purse? Oh, my gosh, we learned a lot that day. God was training us. He was teaching us. He was encouraging us in the work. I think for Shamgar, I think the Lord encouraged him. I mean, I don't know about you, but it's hard to say, hey, I'm going to go fight against those Philistines with an ox goad. What? I think God encouraged him. You need to take those steps, Shamgar. I'm going to be with you. Go forward. Yeah, we don't read it here, but I think that's exactly what we see. And I think God does encourage us all the time. In 2 Corinthians 1, verses 2 through 5, we're told, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Do we ever get discouraged? Absolutely. Absolutely, because we're human. I like what we see here. God says he's encouraging us, comforting us. God, I think, has cornered the market on comfort. And I think the enemy likes to get us to doubt God's comfort. Well, how can you do that? You're worthless. You're a nobody. You have no talent. You can't do that. I think doubt, discouragement is the double-edged sword that Satan loves to use with us. But God comforts us, and I love that about him. That there are times that, wow, it's kind of scary. You know, it hasn't happened in a while, but for a few years there, before every service, the enemy was just beating on me. That's the message you put together? That really? That's the one? And you start doubting. You go, oh man, how am I going to change it now? I got to go up and right after worship. And you start doubting and it starts building and building and you start questioning everything. And then Art and the worship team come up here and we start worshiping God. And it's amazing what God does. Because all of a sudden, my mind is not focused upon me anymore. I'm not hearing those doubts anymore. Now I'm focused upon God. And all of a sudden, man, you know, we're into the second or third song. I'm ready. Let's go right now. I'm ready to teach. Let's do it. Because God has just given me this passion. This is what they need to hear. What comfort God brings. Are we open to that? And I think God many times will comfort us through his word. You know, that's what we see here in 2 Corinthians 1. He's the God of all comfort. Not some, not most, but all comfort. The God of all comfort. So when things get bad, you know, I realize sometimes we get sick, you know, we get a cold or something, and we pray, and, you know, we know we're going to get better. Well, what happens? You lose your job. Your spouse leaves you. Financially, you're in trouble. All of a sudden, major disasters in your house. Your children are running amok. All these things are going on. Is he still the God of all comfort? Absolutely. It doesn't say he's the God when things are going well that will comfort you, because I don't need comfort when things are going well. I need comfort when things are going bad. And that's exactly what God does. He is the God of all comfort. He comforts us during our most difficult situations we find ourselves in. And he does that as we read his word. I don't know about you, but over the years, I've been through many, many difficult times, lots of stress. And all of a sudden, I'm reading the word of God, and all of a sudden, the passage that I'm reading, it's exactly where I'm at. I mean, how lucky is that? No luck at all. That's a God thing. Or have you ever noticed that, you know, you're listening to our radio station and, you know, you're going through some things that all of a sudden every single teacher is teaching on the thing that you're going through. Come on.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread and communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.